Question: what kind of university is heaven running where none of my transcripts from down here are transferable? Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 contain the admissions policy, grace through faith. And then in capital letters, not by works, so that no one can boast. In the very next verse, though, God tells us that getting all A's is still important. Hello? Many are familiar with the hymn written by Charles Wesley entitled, And Can It Be? During our last three radio programs, we've been exploring verses from that beautiful hymn. Today, we'll be looking at the last stanza. Verse 4. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living head and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Can that really be true? There is no condemnation? Does Jesus have anything to say about that? Let's read from the book of Luke, chapter 15, beginning with verse 12. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Just a few verses before this parable of Jesus, we hear him telling those around him that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, without even a hint of condemnation. How does God treat us when we begin to appreciate how good he has been to us? Does he chastise us? Does he shake his divine finger at us and tell us, Shame on you for being so rebellious? Or does he act more like this man in our story? The parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son bring out in distinct lines God's pitying love for those who are straying from him. Although they have turned away from God, he does not leave them in their misery. He is full of kindness and tender pity toward all who are exposed to the temptations of Satan. And that's all of us, friends. In the parable of the prodigal son is presented the Lord's dealing with those who have once known the Father's love, but who have allowed the tempter to lead them captive at his will. This younger son had become weary of the restraint of his father's house. He thought that his liberty was restricted. His father's love and care for him were misinterpreted, and he determined to follow the dictates of his own heart. This young man acknowledges no obligation to his father, and he expresses no gratitude. Yet he claims the privilege of a child in sharing his father's goods. The inheritance that would fall to him at his father's death he desires to receive now. He is determined to experience present enjoyment without any concern for the future. Having obtained his inheritance, he goes into a far country, away from his father's home. With money in plenty, and liberty to do as he likes, he flatters himself that the desire of his heart is reached. There is no one to say, Do not do this, for it will only hurt you, or Do this, because it is right. Evil companions help him to plunge ever deeper into sin, and he wastes his substance with what the Bible calls riotous living. At this point in the story, you can use your imagination. What would you call riotous living today? Sex, violence, drugs. You name it, he did it. For remember, this is not just a story about a single man, but about a human race fallen in sin. If it can be imagined, it has been done. The Bible, in Romans 1:22, tells of men who, professing themselves to be wise, become fools. And this is the history of the young man of the parable. The wealth which he has selfishly claimed from his father, he squanders upon harlots. The treasure of his young manhood is wasted. The precious years of life, the strength of intellect, the bright visions of youth, the spiritual aspirations, all are consumed in the fires of lust. A great famine arises, and he begins to be in want. He joins himself to a citizen of the country who sends him into the field to feed swine. To a Jew, this was the most menial and degrading job. The young man, who once boasted of his liberty, now finds himself a slave. He is in the worst of bondage, holden with the cords of his sins. The glitter and tinsel that enticed him to leave have all disappeared, and he feels the burden of his chain. Sitting upon the ground in that desolate and famine-stricken land, with no companions but the swine, he is starving, with nothing to eat but the husks being fed to the pigs. Of the happy companions who flocked about him in his prosperous days and ate and drank at his expense, there is not one left to befriend him. Where now is his joy? All the noise and excitement had quieted his conscience. He had thought himself happy, but now, with money spent, with hunger unsatisfied, with pride humbled, with his moral nature beaten down, with his will weak and untrustworthy, with his finer feelings seemingly dead, he is the most wretched of men. What a picture here of the sinner's state! Although surrounded with the blessings of God's love, there is nothing that the sinner, bent on self-indulgence and sinful pleasure, desires so much as separation from one who loves him. Like the ungrateful son, he claims the good things of God as his by right. He takes them as a matter of course, and makes no return of gratitude, renders no service of love. As Cain went out from the presence of the Lord to seek his own home, as the prodigal wandered into the far country, we read in Romans 1:28 that sinners seek happiness in forgetfulness of God. Whatever the appearance may be, every life that is centered in self is being squandered. Whoever attempts to live apart from God is wasting his substance. He is squandering the precious years, squandering the powers of mind and heart and soul, and actually working to make himself bankrupt for eternity. The mind that God created for the companionship of angels has become degraded to earthly service. This is the end of those bent on self-service. Alone in this far country, you feel your misery, and in despair you cry, "O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" This universal truth is contained in the prophet Jeremiah's words, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." That's Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6. In Matthew 5:45, we read that God maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. But men have the power to shut themselves away from sunshine and even from shower. While the sun of righteousness shines and the showers of grace fall freely for all, we may be separating ourselves from God. We may inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. The young man turns from the swineherds and the husks. and sets his face toward home. Trembling with weakness and faint from hunger, he presses eagerly on his way. He has no covering to conceal his rags, no fancy coat. But his misery has conquered pride, and he hurries on to beg a servant's place where he once was a child. You may wonder what the father has been doing. When his child left home, did he throw up his hands in glee and shout, "Good riddance, I'm glad you're gone! That's one less mouth to feed." During this time of his absence, has there been any joy in the home? No, friends. Every day, this loving father goes out to look for his son. Hour by hour, he stands on the roof, scanning the horizon for any glimpse of his lost son. And now, with weary and painful steps, as this lost son pursues the homeward way, he knows not that one is watching for his return. But while he is yet a great way off, the father discerns his form. Love has quick sight. Not even the degradation of the years of sin can conceal the son from the father's eyes. He had compassion and ran and fell on his neck in a long, clinging, tender embrace. The father will permit no disrespectful eye to mock at his son's misery and tatters. He takes from his own shoulders the broad, rich mantle and wraps it around the son's wasted form. The youth sobs out his repentance, saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." The father holds him close to his side and brings him home. No opportunity is given him to ask a servant's place. He is a son who shall be honored with the best the house affords, and whom the waiting men and women shall respect and serve. There is no condemnation. Psalm 133 tells us that God does not deal with us according to our iniquities. If he did, we would already be dead. Read Isaiah 55, verse 12. "For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you unto singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." In Psalm 103:12 we read, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Amazing love! How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
And can it be that I should